Good morning. I think you can do better than that. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. I heard a distinct good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks to Jimmy Peck for the introduction. About 3 months ago, I was asked to preach. And Bill, who's responsible for filling the pulpit while we are in search of a pastor, asked me, I said, oh, of course. I said yes because I thought that by now we will have a pastor. This guy is crafty. Woo! Man, let's try and get this pastor, man. But it's really an honor to be given this opportunity to speak. I want you to trust me, right? I want you to give a round of applause. I will tell you why. Let's do that. Thank you. Thank you. Now, why did you clap? Because you trust me, right? Yes, yes. Yesterday, we had a wonderful time. The men of this church are on the move. In fact, there is a movement being created in this church by the men of this church. Where is Cliff? Cliff. Cliff is our director of the men's department. Cliff, thank you and your men. We had a conference, a men's conference yesterday, which for me was more like an institute, you know, because there were teachings and Bill brought the word about talking about manhood and fatherhood and, you know, just set the stage for what was to come. Well, I attended two workshops or breakout sessions. One was on spiritual disciplines that was done so awesomely by Cliff. And then discipleship that was done by a brother. I don't wonder if he's still here, from the Navigators. He was great. But then when we met for lunch, one of my brothers told me, I asked him, which course did you take? He said, D, I did introduction to Hebrews and my head hurts. And I said, thanks to David Knuckles. You know, it was great. It was great. On Saturday, we are having our men's breakfast. It's at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, right? Men's breakfast? February 8th. That's this Saturday that's coming? Yeah. February 8th. We're having our men's breakfast. And I invite you men who've not been in the men's ministry to come. To come. Because it is an awesome time. I've gotten to know most of the men just through these interactions. Okay? The men are on the move. On Friday, I met with some friends. And I told them, I'll be preaching at my church on Sunday. Can you please pray for me? And I said, D, we're not only going to pray, we're going to be there. And they are here. Adam and Mark, please wave. And they are, thank you so much for coming. These guys are doing an awesome job meeting the needs of folks that are on the fringes of our society, our community. So I just want to say thank you for what you're doing and may God bless you. Let's go to the Word. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. The Word of God. Go therefore, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Let's look to the Lord. Father, my prayer this morning is that D. Walker, D. Nyamia Walker, will decrease and you will increase. May you be seen in Jesus' name. Amen. A bunch of you who know me know that I came to the Lord through the ministry of missionaries in Liberia. And I was one of the hard-headed locals. You know, I really gave the missionaries a hard time. It's not because I was a very naughty young man. It was because I was very inquisitive. So when they said certain things, I would push them to the wall. Can you please explain that for me? And some of them want to go in the Greek and the Hebrew. I said, tell me in plain, simple English what that is. Well, bottom line is, they saw me as a leader, and they sponsored me to college. So I went to college. I came back. I gave them a hard time again, and they sent me to graduate school. You know, I came back and I gave them a hard time again, and they sent me to do my PhD. So if you're listening to me and you're local, give the missionaries a hard time. They will send you to school. I recall very vividly a day that I was called by one of these missionaries. And these calls were very rare. They are very rare occurrences. This missionary was responsible for entry of missionaries on the local ground. They call it on field. So he said, D, we would like for you to put together an on-field training for these missionaries. I looked at him, I said, who? He said, you, D. I said, are you kidding me? He said, no, I'm not kidding. I mean, I spoke to him in soprano, you know. Anyway, long story short, I took the challenge and I put together a simple survey just so I can gauge where they are. Because in life, we all have our comfort and discomfort zones, right? So I put together a survey and asked them, I say on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being very discomfortable, and 5 being, oh, I'm excited, I'm comfortable. So I asked them the question, how do you feel coming to Liberia? Were you in discomfort or comfortable? Well, the findings were very revealing. Very, very revealing. But I was not surprised. Over 75% of the missionaries who were engaged in the process indicated that they were under 1 or 2 because Liberia was not even on their radar. In fact, over 85% of them did not know where Liberia was. I said, how did you come here? Again in soprano. But then they were given a list of countries to choose from. And because Liberia was English speaking, a bunch of them said, we're going there. They didn't want to learn any language, you know? So they came to Liberia. Now, while the results were rigged with what I would call subjective self-assessment, it provided an opportunity, the basis for me and the missionaries to have an engaged conversation, very healthy conversation. And I can tell you something. Liberia became, if I was going to do the survey again, because they said for you to understand or to maintain a very good positive, result, you have to do the survey more than once. If I was going to do it again, I will tell you that most of these missionaries scored 5. Liberia became their comfort zones. Having said this, let me ask you 2 questions, and please do not answer. I'm a teacher, so that's my instruction. Do not answer. Can you imagine a teacher telling you, don't answer the question? How are you going to be graded? Don't answer. Question number 1. Should the American church be sending missionaries to the rest of the world? Question number 2. Is every Christian a missionary? Oh, I said don't answer. I'm hearing yes. Through whispers, you failed because you didn't follow instruction. I'm a professor. That's one of the things. I give instructions. If my students don't follow instructions, I don't even look at their paper. I just give them F. But my single response to both questions is an undeniable yes. The American church should be sending out missionaries. And every Christian is a missionary. Please allow me to prove my point by a very practical display. You are now entering your mission field. I wonder where we saw. I saw that somewhere. Let's go. It's Vista Grande Baptist Church. You know, on the other side of this sign, it was cold when I took these pictures. Freezing cold. You see the A is almost gone at the top. I think it was the snow. Anyway, Devin, ask your facility guys to look at that stuff because it seems like that A is disappearing. Anyway, on the other side of this sign is valet parking. It points you to this valet parking. But the point I'm making is this church takes very seriously the call and the reminder to all of us that we are missionaries. The moment you leave from here, going out, you are entering your mission field. Thank you. The leadership of this church, Vista Grande Baptist Church, takes this statement very seriously. In fact, it does not only convey a message, but demonstrate our commitment to missions. And I mean local and global missions. Each of us here should be engaged in what I call global missions. Global and local missions. Global. You see, this church is unabashedly an integral part of the International Mission Board, IMB. Oh no, the International Mission Board is not perfect by any stretch of your imagination. However, we take very seriously the fact that we've been called out, like any other Christian, ecclesia, right? We've been called out of the world to be an example of obedient servants to the Lord. We have been given a mandate, even if it means leaving our comfort zones for our discomfort zones. In our text, Matthew chapter 28, the words of Jesus are captured just before his ascension. Known as the Great Commission, this passage calls us to action so that we can be obedient servants of the Lord. In fact, it underscores our mission to make disciples of all nations. A responsibility, my brothers and sisters, that is rooted in the authority and the purpose and promise of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, for most churches, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. Churches are all concerned about growing themselves, meeting in bigger facilities, extending their ministries, instead of finding ways to reach out to your Jerusalem, 20, 25, maybe 50-mile radius of where we are, to the rest of the world. Allow me very quickly to highlight three points that I see in this passage. There are more of them. The first one is the powerful proclamation. In fact, for us to understand this powerful proclamation, let's go back to verse 18 of Matthew 28. The Bible says, and this is the word of God, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Jesus often talks about his authority to his disciples. In other words, the source of all power has given all his authority to his son. And who is the source of all this power? Our sovereign God Almighty. Amen? Because Jesus has this authority, he commands us to go. It is his authority that sends us. It is his authority that guides us. It is Christ's authority that empowers us to be disciples of his. Why? He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, having established this, he made the pronouncement. And I'm not going to delve into the Greek of the word go, because I will tell you, Greek would say it is in the aorist tense, which means it is present continuous. It is not just go yesterday and don't go today, but go every day. Amen? This is not optional, my brothers and sisters. It is mandatory. It is mandatory. Go to do what? The Bible says, go and make disciples. Not just converts. In fact, Dr. Devin Knuckles, our minister, our pastor for administration, has been doing a series on discipleship. You may want to revisit those sermons on our website. This mandate is to go and make disciples. For those of us who are members of this church, if you go downstairs, you walk around each of the classrooms, you will see on the side of each door, there are courses that are done called discipleship. This church believes that we not only go out and call people to become Christians, but we find a way for making them strong so that they can serve the growing church. So we believe in evangelism. And when they are evangelized, when they come to the Lord, he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, no denomination is perfect, okay? But I'm unabashedly a Baptist. And I believe in baptism by dunking. Are we together? Because it signifies a very profound spiritual truth. And that is, we are being identified in the death of Christ. We are also being identified in Christ being risen to life eternal. So when you do that, you're making a public proclamation that I'm not only a Christian, but I want the world to know, my brothers and sisters to know, my friends to know, that you know what? The things I used to do, I do them no more. So this is a testimony of me being a new creature in Christ. All things are past and all things are now new. You see, my brothers and sisters, it is not only baptizing. It says baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things. My doctorate, my master's is in education. My doctorate is in education. I've been working in schools for over 15, 20 years. The teaching ministry of the church, the teaching ministry of the church should never be relegated to anything else. That's why we have Sunday school. It says Sunday school, that's old school. Yes, it's Sunday school. So it says we must be committed and dedicated to investing in the lives of others through the teaching of God's uncompromising word. God, my brothers and sisters, is concerned about the lost. In fact, he left heaven to seek and to save the lost. But how will the lost encounter? How will the lost embrace? And how will the lost embrace the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How? They need to encounter it. They need to embrace it. They need to experience it. How? Look with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans 10, 14. The word of God. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You see, brothers, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing through and by the word of God. If you are here today and you are thinking, I'm a Christian, I'm cool, I go to church, I pay my tithe, I pay my offering. In fact, I support some of the projects. I want you to know this. Because in these verses that we read, we do not only see the powerful proclamation that mandates us to go, we are also given the scope of the proclamation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, who has all authority, says, go into all the world and make disciples. So not only the powerful proclamation, we see the purposeful perimeters. All nations. It means going into your uncomfortable zones, your discomfortable zones. Say, how do you get that? Thank God that scripture interprets scripture. The same Jesus who gave this also said in the book of Acts, turn with me to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He was talking to the disciples. And he says, and you shall receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Follow me now. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, I know you're saying, well, God didn't call me to go overseas. God says, and you will be my witnesses in where? In Jerusalem. And Jerusalem here was where the disciples were. It is usually referred to here as your local community. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Colorado has a need for the gospel. You know, my brothers that I just pointed to are reaching to people on the fringes of the earth, of this world, in this community. And what they are doing is sharing the gospel with these folks. And when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they disciple them. Amen. May God bless you for that. Amen. So yeah, you don't want to go. God didn't call me to go. But remember, you are a missionary. The moment you leave from here, you turn left and you go in south. I don't care what you do, you will encounter that sign. You can escape that sign. You are entering your... I can't hear you. You are entering your... So it is a few feet radius, 1 mile radius, 10 mile radius, you are entering your mission field. For some of us, our mission field might be our family. For some of us, our mission field might be work. Oh, I can tell you about that. That's my mission field. You see, in the earliest days of the Christian church, the church was comprised predominantly of Jews. In the book of Acts, oh, by the way, this is a commercial. If you are looking for a Sunday school to go to, I'm taking over the Joint Hares Sunday School class. And beginning next week, we'll be going through the book of Acts. If you want to see how the church was started and how the church grew, so that you can get some examples from there to solidify your own movement, join me. How do you like that? That's a free commercial. But anyway, we'll be going through the book of Acts. I am so excited, because the reason why I'm excited, sometimes I sit and I wonder, my wife was influenced by an African American missionary who left Chicago, went to Liberia to start Child Evangelism Fellowship. Through that woman, my wife became a Christian, and she has been on fire for the Lord. As knucklehead as I am, she has been my North Star, Bendu Walker. When she sees me going astray, she said, "D. Walker, you are a man of God." I say, "Yes, Mama, I'm a man of God. Watch your steps." I say, "Yes, Mama, the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord." He said, "Don't say the second part, because I don't want to hear it. Because the second part is, though he falls, he shall never be cast out." Don't fall. Missionaries. So, they started in Jerusalem, and the church grew exponentially. And they started calling out people and sending them into the mission field. Wow. Wow. And today, we are here as a mission-minded church, as a mission-sending church, as a mission-growing church. We are here because of those examples that we saw, that we experienced from the book of Acts. There is lostness here and everywhere. The state of the world when it comes to spirituality is very gloomy. Very gloomy. It is estimated that the world population is about a little over 8 billion that are alive today. Do you know? And listen to me. You can find this in any source. Don't look in your phones and start Googling right now. I'm watching you. Out of the 8.08 billion people in the world, well, some die today, others are born today. You know, that's the exciting thing about population studies. You know, 3.42 billion of these people live in unreached people groups. People with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? I'm not a mathematician. In fact, I failed math. I only made the minimum to get to the next grade, you know? Yeah, some of you like me in school. You just pass math just so you can make it, because math was required. Anyway, but there is something I can say to you. 3.42 billion who live in unreached people's groups with little or no access of the gospel, that is a little over 42% of people who are unreached, or people who are within the unreached and unengaged, unreached and unengaged category. This is billions of people dying every day and going to hell. This statistics is staggering and should call us to action. Call us to action, starting with our Jerusalem. We need an active mobilization of people, young and not so young, in our schools, in our universities, in our communities. If you are in youth ministry, if you are in student ministry, how can we mobilize the church so that when all people like us are gone, the young children are taking over the propagation of the gospel ministry? Just in case you are scared, you said, "Oh dear, this is too much for me. I'm even scared of the people in my community. Oh no, dear, I can't do this. I want to be in my comfort zone." Jesus proclaimed powerfully. He gave the perimeters, all nations, beginning with us here. And then finally, the reason why you should not be afraid or jittery, the reason why you should have confidence that you will make it no matter what, is because of the promised presence of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. His presence is both beneficial to us and essential in the process of going and making disciples. When Jesus Christ says, "And behold, I am with you to the end of the age," that is powerful. That is powerful. "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will surround you and lift you up with my righteous right hand." That is the God we are talking about. I went through civil war in Liberia. I worked with the only Christian radio station in my country, Liberia. And if you're listening, Google ELWA, Eternal Love Winning Africa, started by SIM missionaries in Liberia. SIM was Sudan Interior Mission. But then when they realized they were no longer in the Sudan and they were growing, it became Society of International Ministries. My life, our lives, me and my wife have been influenced by missions. We moved from Illinois, where I did my studies. We moved to Colorado Springs. You know why? Oh, you don't know why? You want me to tell you? Huh? Because of the missionary's influence and impact in me and my wife's life, we dedicated. I was granted. Listen to this. I'm not the smartest guy, but I was granted. A letter was sent to me. Said, "D, you have been asked," because after I finished with my doctorate, I was asked to be an assistant visiting professor. So I was teaching when the dean, the vice president for academic affairs, called me and says, D, the faculty have voted and they want you to be a tenured professor." Huh? Tenured professor in the United States of America? Bingo! I hit the jackpot, man! Woo-wee! Tenured! Unless my life is messed up, I'm good for life. I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." And of course, it didn't take me and Bindu 1 day or 2 days to pray. I wrote a nice email to Dr. Stemolis. And I said, my wife and I have decided, because of our calling, we're moving to Colorado Springs and we're going to be missionaries with HCJB. It was HCJB that started in Ecuador. I was part of the group that rebranded the name from HCJB to HCJB Global. And so we came to Colorado Springs in 2006. And I served with HCJB from 2006 to the end of 2008 before I joined Compassion. So while I was with HCJB, I became the executive director for Sub-Saharan Africa, training people in medical, in radio, in leadership development. In fact, we were doing only medical and radio. And I said, for us to turn the baton over to the locals, what we need to do is to bring leadership development, which included discipleship, into the mix. So our global ends, our strategy now was a three-pronged approach to ministry in Africa. The hands and the feet of Jesus Christ that is undergirded by discipleship. When Christ said, "I will be with you always," there are many things this could mean. His promised presence is complete because he's a complete God. He's not a half God. His presence means protection. We are never, ever out of the sight of God. Someone says, if you have a feeling that Jesus moved or God moved, or you feel a distance from God, you're feeling a distance from God, who moved? You moved. Christ is always with you. He will never move. He might turn his face away from you because of your sin, but he loves you so much that he will never let you rot. Amen? He'll protect you. His presence means power, because we are called to fulfill this great command. His presence means peace. Shalom. 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 You know, when the children of Israel were in Babylon, it says, how can we sing the Lord's song in captivity? How? God says, I'm with you. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the close of this message, remember, no matter what ministry God has called you to, he promised never to leave you, nor to forsake you. I am a living testimony. Does it mean that things are going to be bed and roses? Far be it from that. But when he has you in his palm and the palm of his hands, he will protect you. He will give you peace. Remember when Paul was in prison and he was freed? He was in peace. When the jailers came and said, oh, what happened? He was chilling. Say, fear thou not, because he knows the God whom he served. Vista Grande Baptist Church, thank you for your commitment to sending missionaries. Thank you for your commitment to supporting missionaries. As we continue in our ministry that God has called us to, let me say this to you. There are so many opportunities to serve Christ in this community. So many. And thank God for those of you who are serving in so many ministries, so many places in this community. But God also wants us to be involved with global missions. So many parts of the world, the church is dead. I went to Europe and I was taking around, see some of the cathedrals, empty. Can I see that slide again? The second slide, yeah, we'll visit Grande Baptist Church. Maybe you are here today and you're wondering, how can I be a part of what you're talking about? Firstly, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I will ask you to make that commitment today so that you can be discipled. But if you are here and you know Jesus Christ, and you say, you know what? My commitment is to come to church faithfully, is to give my tithes and my offerings faithfully. I want to challenge you to expand your horizon. I'm not talking strategy here today. I'm not talking processes here today. I'm not talking projects here today. What I'm talking about is for you to search your heart and see how God might utilize your gifts, your knowledge, your abilities to expand his kingdom to all nations.